All right, welcome back to the latest Mountainless Connection Hoop Show. It's been a while. Jerry
yeah,
Moss.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
Yeah.
That's Matt Bain making some weird noises over there. yep, I'm back. I'm Jeremy Moss here hanging out. Check us out, MWCConnection.com, Mountainless Connection on Facebook. We surpassed 1,500 likes. That's good news.
Hey, there we go.
Took long enough.
Yeah.
And MWCConnection on Twitter. So that's the main pertinent stuff. Find our show. You can probably find it anywhere, but Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio. If you have a, should I call the iPod antiquated or an iPhone? Because I don't use iTunes ever. You can find it there.
I would definitely say the iPod is antiquated. iPhone, not so much.
No, well, iTunes. I don't know. I have an Android phone, so I love Stitcher and use that. SoundCloud's awesome too, but yeah, iPhone. I have an old iPod that still works and works great. I still take it with me anywhere. It just sits as a speaker at home on my deck or something.
Nice. It'll be worth a lot of money one day, though. It'll be like retro antique.
Of course. Definitely. But yeah, we're back. A couple weeks. I've actually had a few people clamoring for basketball news from us.
Really?
I'm surprised as well.
Cool, man.
No, it's good. We haven't done many basketball shows. We have our UNLV show with Tyler doing great things. So that was earlier today. So check that out. That's in your feed. We'll go over kind of what he wrote about that game, but let's start with this game tonight. We're just going to jump right into it. There's a rare Sunday game, San Diego State, lost to Boise State. First off, let's go with the Boise State side real quick. We'll get to the Aztecs and everything because there's a logjam at the top. What is up with Boise State? They're missing one of their best players. Anthony Drimmick has been out for a while. They started 0-3. They've won, 7 in a row? What are they doing right?
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, 7 in a row. I think it's honestly the guy who's stepped up in Anthony Dermich's absence. I think it's been James Webb III. Yes, Derek Marks has been the leading scorer, or he led all the country in scoring in January in terms of points per game. He's been awesome. He's been great. But James Webb is kind of that X factor that Boise State has never really had. They've had, you know, athletic small guards who could score from the outside and can, you know, draw some contact on the inside. But Webb is a 6'10 guy who can shoot three as well as he can go in for an athletic dunk. Boise State has never really had a player like that. And I think he's been sort of that X factor that's really spurred the 7-game winning streak. He's had 2 double-doubles in that 7-game winning streak. He's scored double digits in 6 of the 7 games. He gets a lot of steals, and he doesn't get in foul trouble, which is another thing that allows him to play a lot of minutes. So I think the Bronco fans owe it all to James Webb at this point.
Yeah, that sounds about right. When they're losing their better players, like, oh, crap, what do we do next?
Exactly.
It's not like you're beating up on bad teams. You got San Jose State, and I don't know what the heck to make of Air Force, really, but New Mexico, the Rams, now Aztecs, and winning at Logan is nearly impossible.
Exactly.
And are they the front runner maybe right now for how well they've been playing? Because they're right now, with the win today over the Aztecs, they're tied in the loss column for the lead. They're technically half the game back, but they have 3 losses with Wyoming and now San Diego State.
Right, yeah, I would say on a neutral court or on the road, Boise State still wouldn't be the best team. They wouldn't be the favorite. They're definitely the hottest team, and I would definitely say they're the dark horse to win the Mountain West tournament. But I would still put SDSU, Colorado State, and Wyoming in another tier above Boise State. That's me personally. I know a lot of people might not think that now, seeing how well the Broncos have been playing. But let's put them on a neutral court and then see what happens.
Good point. Yeah, they winning well. Well, the only thing I would say, I'd put them in there. I think they can be with anybody because nobody's winning games in the Mountain West. Everybody's Air Force. Okay, Air Force beat Wyoming by 23 points.
Slaughtered them.
I know Larry Nance was out with mono, and I think another player was. But how you losing to Air Force? Who didn't they lose their best player like a month ago? I believe.
Oh yeah, and then is Max Yon even back yet?
I don't know. They're losing players, and without Nance, he's not going to make up 25 points on his own,
right?
Or whatever it was, and they also have Alan Henderson's out as well, and the league's crazy. New Mexico losing at home to multiple teams at home. Is it the name change maybe? Because it's no longer officially the Pit. It's what? The pizza joint or whatever it's called? Pies or something?
Wise Pies Arena. Oh,
Wise
God.
Pies is the Pit. The
I
Pit
just
of Wise Pies.
To say. Oh my gosh.
I don't know. They're. Well, oh man.
Well, Well, let's look at the teams that New Mexico has lost at home to. They lost at home to Boise State. That was right at the beginning of Boise State's win streak. They lost at home then to Utah State, 63-60. That was a tough one.
That's the only home losses they have.
Yeah, those are the two home losses. And then they've lost on the road at Wyoming and at Air Force. And, you know, winning at Air Force isn't easy to do. Yes, they've lost a couple of their best players, but it's still high altitude. Those 150 people in the crowd are very loud.
Yeah. They need to pump. Do the Falcons pump some noise in there? Do something. Yeah, Greenwood, and well, is it just because Colin Neal's been out? They've been inconsistent since they lost him. I don't know what to do with New Mexico. We all think they're gonna be great. You got Neal there, the other Neal coaching. The offense should be great. They got nothing.
Yeah, I have no points. I have no clue what to think, you know, going in to every game with New Mexico. I had them blasting Air Force, and I had them blasting Utah State, and they lost both those games. So it shows how much I know about them. I mean, well, it's ridiculous.
I know they should have. I get UNLV, but is this what, to piss Hugh Greenwood off? Is that all you got to do?
I guess so, yeah. Never piss Hugh Greenwood off. I guess that's the lesson learned.
It's their – what are they sitting, 4-8, I believe? No, 6-5, excuse me. That's the other teams. Yeah. I think I'd put them below the other teams you already mentioned, below Aztecs, below Wyoming, CSU, and even well below Boise State.
Yeah. Yeah, I would put them, let's see.
Right in the middle.
Yeah, maybe 5 or 6, sort of even there with UNLV. I know UNLV is lower in the standings, but in terms of just talent level, I think UNLV is pretty close to New Mexico.
They beat Arizona.
They did beat Arizona.
A long time ago.
Yes, and then they lost to Stanford by what, like 30?
Yeah.
What, early in the year, yeah.
Yeah, they're hit and miss. But with go to Wyoming real quick. We mentioned have you ever had mono before?
I haven't, but I was talking with some of my friends. Mono lasts for a while. Is Nance going to be out? I mean, even next week against SCSU, that would be a huge loss if he is.
I don't know. Just mentioned to you, like Coach Shatt said, like day to day. Which I was reading something. This is totally off topic. I'm not gonna go too much into the details. I read Lifehacker because he has some random cool stuff on there. Just all sorts of cool stuff. And they had something about like ask the doctor a question or something. And it's basically about mono. This guy had it pretty bad. And basically, he had some whatever girlfriend and relations all the time. And she's put like, and he's in school, changing majors, pretty stressful, anyways. Right. And after it took him about a month, they actually had to have surgery for it. I don't think his is this extreme by any means. But the dude, like for 3 or 4 months later, couldn't do anything. He had a tough time walking. He had a tough not walking, but like just getting around, get to class, having his girlfriend for what she wants to do, and all sorts of stuff. And he was like out of it for like 4 months. Like he was really out of it for maybe a month with surgery. But it can be that extreme. But like you said, I've heard people at last, it can just linger where you're basically just weak.
Yeah, I just popped how long does mono last into Google, and this comes from the clevelandclinic.org. It's a .org. It's reliable. Here we go. Yeah. Symptoms of mononucleosis usually last for 1 to 4 weeks, but it might take as long as 2 months before you feel well enough to resume all of your normal activities.
And it also probably depends how soon they realized he had it.
Right.
Because I don't think
interesting.
I don't think I've ever had it, but from what the symptoms are, it seems like kind of like the flu a little bit, a cold, just achiness and weak. And so he's like, oh, maybe I got the flu, and they checked out what he had. Nope, it's mono, and they'll get it going sooner. But if he's out versus CSU, if he's out for who do they have coming up next year? Whoever they play, the league's so tight, he can't – if he's out for – misses – two more games, and they're losing to one of the worst teams in Air Force, they could drop pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, let's see what they got. I know they have SDSU on Wednesday, which is a biggie.
That's right. Yeah, they got
And then who's after that? Let's see. Typing it in right now.
I had the other schedules up.
Oh, and then they host San Jose State.
Yeah!
That's okay.
There we go.
So they probably don't need Nance or Henderson for San Jose State, but definitely for San Diego State, that's going to be one of the most watched doctor's visits in the world right there.
It could be. And, yeah, here's the thing. It doesn't – it's not – I don't think – even if he misses Aztecs, Spartans, even Nevada, they could probably win two of those three games. They're probably not going to beat San Diego State, especially on the road. But again, it doesn't matter. Everybody's tied with three losses right now at the top. Right. So you can be – I think your four-loss prediction we mentioned about a month ago might not be too accurate for the league. It might be six losses at that point. But it's not going to be that big a deal because essentially the Mountain West Tournament is still a month away.
Right.
About a month. As long as you're not facing UNLV in the second round, you're good to go pretty much because anything can happen. So if they're if you're one through four, even if you go down to five or six, in my opinion – you don't want to be that low, but say they happen to go middle of the pack five, as long as you're not facing UNLV in round two, I think that's perfectly fine. And they'll be okay for any team. Because who knows? Like I said, they beat Arizona, got worked by Stanford. They lost to – they held on with CSU. That's, I think, if you're at that position, you're – whatever you are, if you're just not facing them in round two, you're okay.
No, you're right. You're right.
And the rest of the way, like, yeah, there's still a bunch of games left, but, like, the only games they'll probably lose for sure – it's probably just the Aztec game, even without Vince, because San Jose win. Nevada, they can be tricky, but they'll be fine. Fresno at home. Fresno's terrible on the road.
Right.
UNLV, I still give them a toss-up. Utah State's not very good on the road, and at New Mexico, well, at the Wise Pies. the curse of Wise Pies.
I'd say that they'd be favored. Yeah, you're right, in every single game except this upcoming one against SDSU.
It may be UNLV, but yeah, they lost the 23 points to Air Force, so it's like, whoa, wait a minute.
Right.
But no, they'll be fine. He's probably not out too long. They caught it early. If he's back by Fresno, they'll probably win every game but Aztecs. But Wyoming, they're probably the most dangerous. No, we'll get to that later. But they just play good offense, and it's funny how people, if you watch them play, like, they don't score any points. Well, true, but don't you see them run around and move every second of every play?
Yeah,
I don't know, but they may take 35 seconds, but they're running the whole time.
They exhaust you. That's what they do.
And when you play at 10,000 feet, it doesn't
help.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to one of the other games. Interesting game. UNLV-CSU. I like what our guy Tyler does. Listen to what they discussed with the guys from Run Rebs earlier. They check your feed. It's on your podcast feed. You'll hear that show. It's already up. But he always goes into good detail about, here's the last play. Here's what happened. And I'm in complete agreement with pretty much everybody. I was thinking of Dave Rice for a minute. They got the same name. Dave Rice, because they both coached the same school. Rice is terrible at late game coaching moves.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, coaching in general, I want to say almost.
Yeah, great recruiter, not so much the end game, yeah.
End game, yeah. And he, well, this end game wasn't hit. Like, Tyler has a video on there. He points out screenshots, arrows, and stuff. This wasn't his fault of what Rice. He had to play set up, but the Larry Eustace goes, oh, we've seen this play. We're not going to let Rashad Vaughn, who had 30 points, get the last shot. Instead, let's get the guy who barely plays or the eighth man on the bench to take the attempt to win the game-winning shot. And it didn't work out, and they blocked it, and they stopped the play. Because basically what they do, if you read the post, they want to do like the handoff from out of bounds, and they get the corner shot essentially, like whip it around. Mm-hmm. They probably could have maybe had it if Vaughn would have stayed where he's at, but that wasn't the case. He covered him pretty well, and he wanted to get open because it's probably going to him, and they don't make it, which wasn't a coaching error by Rice, but it's more of a maybe get a second or third play in there. So you have the guy who scores least points per game taking your game-winning shot who, if I recall what Tyler put up, he's made small sample size. He's any late-game shot he's missed.
Yeah, I was surprised at that play. I haven't seen Tyler's post yet. I will, but what I kind of thought when watching the play, because I saw this live, was it was obvious the play had broken down. But it was also obvious that Cody Doolin had somewhat of an advantage. He was driving into the paint. It seemed like he could have gone up and at least drawn contact, gone for free throws, and maybe even an and one. And then at the last second, he saw what's the UNLV guy's
Cornish.
Name? Cornish. He saw him open, and being the good point guard that Doolin in, he tossed it over to Cornish for the missed game-winning shot. I almost thought Doolin should have just kept going and tried to draw contact.
Couldn't work as likely. They'll call something at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Was it 63-62 the final, something like that?
Yeah.
They, you know, or no, 83-82, excuse me. Close enough. 1-point game. Yeah. UNLV's just weird. Like, the Rams are good, but it's just coaching. Like, UNLV, I don't know how many other more wins they'd have, but they also have a good – I think part of it overcoming of who they have as their assistant coaches.
Yeah, no, that's very true, because you see the teams like SDSU. I just know this because I have, you know, good experience here, but I'm sure it's the way at other schools like Colorado State and Boise and New Mexico. When Coach Fitcher got the Mountain West Coach of the Year last year, he said, this is Staff of the Year. I mean, he handles kind of the overall coaching scheme, but Brian Dutcher handles scouting. Justin Hudson handles the defense. His son Mark Fisher handles the offense, and then Dave Velazquez handles recruiting. So it's like it's everybody has their own role, and they come together to create a really good coaching staff. But you're very right. Maybe there's a hole missing at UNLV. Maybe there's a cog that isn't functioning quite right, and it screws up the whole machine.
Possibly, but with him, it seems more situational things, not necessarily the overall game. But you didn't take your timeout with you. You blew your timeouts early. Let's run this play that's never going to work at the end of the game. It's those type of things. And when you're head coach, you're making that call. It's not like you're going to let – who's one of the assistant coaches? Stacey Ogman, isn't he one of their assistant coaches? I think one of the former Wyoming coach is there as well. They're not going to make that last-second call. It's like, yes, they all work together like every staff does, but it's like he's head coach. It's your decision.
Right.
And so if you screw up, it's you on you. And it seems to be happening more often than not. And they've had great talent. And they always make some noise, but they've had, like, look who they brought in, Rashard Vaughn. They got Econo Block. They got all these guys, or that's a nickname, whatever we're calling them. But they brought in Doolin, who's not playing all that well from San Francisco. I don't know what really the deal is. It doesn't seem like to shoot as much as the last play shown. If you go watch that or we're watching that game, he had a chance. They have players. They probably have the best, most talent in the league, I would say. Pretty close.
And year in, year out, they do as well. I would say for the past 3 years, they've had the most talent.
Yeah, easily. And they can't, even at Anthony Bennett, he was injured, the shoulder injury, and all sorts of stuff kind of hurt late. But you look at San Diego State, they have a few guys that are coming in for recruit that are, they're getting much better at it. But even a couple years ago when they made the run a little bit, beating Oklahoma in the tournament, Xavier Thames, he wasn't a super high guy they brought in, like UNLV's bringing in Bennett and these other, Rashard Vaughn and these other guys. He was a middle of the pack guy. I just coached him up, and look what he does. A freak athletically, and everybody saw what he did. He was super fast. He would dribble over and trip over his feet sometimes, but it's like those type of guys. It coaches guys up, and if he could coach up these guys, Nate Rice and anybody else, like, come on, they should win nearly every year. 9 out of 10 years, they should be winning the conference.
They should. You're right. They should, but they never do. So, like we've said before, and like you're saying now, what does it come down to? It comes down to Mr. Rice.
Oh, man. All right, so do you have anything else about these last week's games we needed to go through? I think we've hit the big ones.
We hit the big ones. UNLV, what? And SDSU, oh, dear.
Yes.
And Boise State, yay.
Yeah, New Mexico, what?
yeah, pretty much.
Losing to Utah State. All right, so we got a couple things this upcoming. There's only really, in my opinion, three worthwhile games talking about, and Colorado State has the toughest week by far. Mm-hmm. Well, it depends what you think of New Mexico, I guess, but they host the Lobos on Tuesday, and then they go to San Diego State. I guess both San Diego State and the Rams have a pretty tough week.
San Diego State has two home games, though, but you're right.
Yeah, so as for opponents, being at home, clearly an advantage, especially when you don't have to go back to Wyoming for any reason.
Exactly.
Let me pull up standings here, but if you look at when they played before, because these are all raw on the back end, so it's all rematches at this point, and it's the home teams that essentially, except for the Aztecs, home teams are winning these games, which... If you don't know about it, you're an idiot. If you're listening, you don't realize home advantage is a pretty big deal in this league.
Yeah.
I probably would go with the home team each week because New Mexico, I don't know what's going on with them. They having issues losing Neil and everything, and anybody else who's stepping up is not really there. Because it's weird with Noodles there. He's supposed to be this offensive guru, and he was like the brains behind Steve Alford at Iowa and at New Mexico, and their offense... They can't get Hugh Greenwood more than, 12 points a game or something, whatever he's getting, 15 points a game. He's not even – I didn't even realize. Let me pull up their stats. I'm not even looking at who their scorers are. Who's Delaney? Do I not know who that guy is? 12 points a game.
Deshaun Delaney.
That guy. Sorry, I'm thinking of something.
Younger Paul George. He looks exactly like Paul George. It's ridiculous.
12 points a game. So New Mexico has no defense, but you don't have, I'm assuming Alford took that role, but they can't score enough points to beat in the Mountain West. If you're going to score points, the Rams with J.J. Avila wants to score points. Larry Stacey will score points. So I don't see any reason why the Rams should not lose that game.
I quite frankly could see that game as maybe even a 10 to 12 point win. You know, with the way New Mexico has been playing, Colorado State just came off a big win at home. They're staying at home. That could be ugly. I hope it isn't, but it could be.
Yeah, it's I probably say comfortable. And then you got Wyoming at San Diego State, which is Wednesday. Excuse me, the following night. It's the late game, so it's 8 there in the Pacific on your lovely CBS Sports Network. So look for that if you have it. I guess that's the best way to put it. No, I shouldn't be too mean for them. They do a good job with basketball. They show most of the games. At least it's not ESPN3, I guess, because that's even
much better than ESPN3.
Lower ranks. I try to use my Chromecast. I get the buffer every 5 seconds. Like, this is not worth it. But it depends on Larry Nance. And even if he's playing, it's Aztecs all the way,
you know,
in my opinion.
Even if he is playing, I would say SDSU. I don't, in recent memory, I know it hasn't happened this year. I don't think even the past 2 years. When's the last time SDSU has lost 2 games in a row? I don't even know. I mean, they're one of the best teams in the country at bouncing back after a loss, and especially if they'll have several days to rest. So, yeah, I see them taking the one against Wyoming. It'll be close if Nance is there. If Nance isn't there, I mean, who knows?
Yeah, especially at home. Like, I remember, what was it? They played Arizona so many times. Was it last year they played Arizona at home?
Yes.
And there, I remember, I think it was with it was on CBS, I think like Doug Gottlieb, whoever was calling that game when he was living out west. They're like, he basically, if I recall, basically said, them and Arizona have the best home court by far and probably gave the edge to the Aztecs. I believe he mentioned something like that, which is true. It's crazy. It's not what Arizona State does for the free throws, but
right,
they go crazy.
That is, by the way, the Arizona State free throw thing, curtain of distraction, is the coolest thing in the world. I think the show is fantastic, but that curtain, oh, my God.
It's an element of surprise.
Yeah.
They get it done. It's like, whoosh, here we got. We got guys in Speedos. We got unicorns. Horses making out. I've only seen a handful of the big ones they've shown, but it's just a surprise because who cares about the spinning head or the giant heads?
Exactly.
Or even the balloons. The spinning wheel, maybe a little bit, but it's just a surprise. It's pretty hilarious. And it's amazing. But, yeah, Aztecs, when what this will do, we could see a separation in the race this week depending on what the Rams and Aztecs do. Because they're obviously neither are going undefeated. They're both going to split their week, in my opinion, because they have to. Well, excuse me, one of the teams have to split. You can't tie. But if the Aztecs win, they're sitting at 3 losses. The Rams are at 3 losses. Do you give the Aztecs a game when they play the Rams on Saturday?
I would, just because it's a home game. SDSU is completely different at home. And I would put them – I mean, I would put them in front of – almost any team in the country when they're at home.
The Rams there. Larry Stacey's, dude, he's amazing. I don't know who's going to win Coach of the Year, because it's not going to be decided until the last second, but he's done. When he came in, like when Tim Miles left, there was nothing, essentially. Mm-hmm. It's like, we got, who cares? We'll win 20 games. I don't care who we got. I will go to the NCAA tournament and not win a game, but I will make it that far and do things with a roster that – actually, well, no, his first year he had the roster. His second year where pretty much everybody's gone, I believe. So I think everybody's pissed at Tim Miles. Like, you got all these guys coming back. You did so good. But there's – not to sidestep, but this coaching is pretty good in this conference for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
At least half
the league. I think that Leon Rice could also throw his name into the hat for what he's done with the Anthony Dermishless Broncos. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got him, you have Stacey, obviously Fisher, maybe even, I should know the coach, what's the Fresno head coach? The guy who I just remember from last year, he went on the sideline doing windmills and they won their opening game on a buzzer beater.
Yeah.
That guy, I probably should know
that
the coach.
Dude, yeah. But I don't know his name either, man, you're good.
That's all I got, as close as I can get, but what are they sitting at? They're sitting there with potential, like you said before, they could be that pesky team to do something in the tournament.
Yeah.
They'd probably have to make the final to do something, but the coach is interesting. Even with Rice, even though we kind of joke with him, he does a good job getting players there and overall can put together a pretty good game plan.
Yeah.
Did I put in Fresno State coach inadvertently if Always Football comes up, which is not a shock? I see Pat Hill before them. I see Jim McElwain before any basketball coach. I see something about the track team coach. I want to find a name because now it's taking me off because I know what he looks like, and I'm probably going to know the name from if I remember. Let's see. Come on, Google. Ah, Rodney Terry. That's correct, yes. Mr. Terry. That, so maybe, but... So if the Aztecs win, do you think they're going to – if they win both games this week, as they probably should, Rams will probably be tougher in my opinion because of full strength. Right. Do you think they would be the number one team? Do you think they'll win the conference if that's the case? If they're sitting at 10-3 after this weekend?
I think they'd be the favorite for sure, but they also have two very losable games left in the schedule, at New Mexico and at UNLV. And then I don't know if Colorado State – would lose another, or if Wyoming would lose another. So I'd say SDSU would be the favorite, but there's always a chance, because if SDSU loses at New Mexico and at UNLV, that'll give them five losses.
And then Boise comes to town too. That won't be super easy.
Right. So definitely favorite if they win both games this week. If they split the games this week, we knew as much going into this week as we did going into last week.
As every week, it seems like.
Yeah, yeah.
There, yeah, I'm looking at the Rams. I may give it to the Rams. I know we got a lot of basketball left, but just because you mentioned them, and obviously the Rams are quite good. Outside of at San Diego State, going to Fresno, maybe, but they host Air Force, host San Jose State, go to Nevada, and go to Utah State.
Oh, that's easy.
They might lose two out of those.
Yeah.
Let's just say San Diego State's one, and... maybe Utah State, the other?
It's at Utah State?
Yeah, it's at Utah State. That's the reason, yeah, I would say that. But they,
yeah,
might be the Rams. But we have a question. One question, our one of our Utah State guys, Parker. Basically, I already have it on here. Mountain West Tournament, or NCAA Tournament. Who are we getting in? How many teams?
All right. I'm going to say three. Two, one being SDSU, and then the other being Colorado State. So those two, I think, are pretty much locks to get in. Even if they lose a couple more games, they'll both get a relatively high seed. SDSU will probably get an 8 or a 9 seed. Colorado State might be one of those play-in games, like at the 11 seed, where they have to win to get into the field of 64. And then a third team will enter the NCAA tournament, because I don't think Colorado State or SDSU will win the Mountain West tournament.
Interesting.
I think one of the dark horse teams will win the Mountain West tournament. I think UNLV has a good chance to win the Mountain West tournament. It's going to be on their home court. When you have that much talent, if you click for three games in a row, you're going to win three games in a row.
Really, two games? I won't say that, because the first round, which I'm going to miss, I'm kind of ticked, will be pretty good, though, that first four games. But the Rams, I think the Rams could be higher, because I know the RPA is used, and it's not really the best tool, but it is used. I don't know. I don't really get how they're a top 30 RPI.
The Rams?
Yeah, yeah. 27. Yeah, they got 19 wins. But like, because basically, for those who know, the RPI, essentially what it is, it's not really based. It's how the years ago the Missouri Valley pretty much manipulated it to get all those teams in the tournament. Take advantage of the tools you got. But the way it works, if I'm correct, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but part of it is, I believe it's 25% of who you play. No, 50% of who you play. And your obviously wins count, of course. And 25% of that team you just played. And then 25% of those opponents. So, like, your opponent's opponents.
Right.
Why the heck should that matter as much as the team you play?
It beats me, but the NCAA the tournament committee loves it. So that's all that matters.
But if you're sitting top 30, they might be higher than that. Like who they play, like, if you look at their best wins... Like, obviously, San Diego State's their number one win, but they have no other top 50 wins outside of Aztecs, which are 25. Their top 100 win, well, Boise's right in the bubble at 51, but Georgia State, UTEP, and UNLV are right between 85 and 100.
Right.
They lost to New Mexico, which is 130, but, like, they have if you look at the plus 150, that's a fill of a lot of teams at 185 and above. For those who are keeping track at home, the terrible Spartans. Do you know how many teams are in NCAA basketball?
Is it 358?
Something like that. Doesn't matter, because San Jose State's 336 in the RPI.
Jesus.
336.
Oh, my gosh.
I would say, I'm kind of wondering why Wyoming's so low, because I figured they would have a better chance to be in over those teams. But, like, if you look at the bracket project, the bracketmatrix.com, has been updated in a couple days, not because everybody doesn't do it every day for their tournament update. They're on the first four out. I thought they'd be higher than maybe, I don't know, they lost a couple of games, but I think they'll get in. I think the question basically was, are we getting three teams? What will take for four? I think three for sure, but just because the league itself, it's that good. It's better. It's like the Missouri, they're better than Missouri Valley. A-10 right there, the new Big East, the American, there's not too much difference overall. And the Big East might get four teams in, however many teams they'll get in. And I think the Mountain West is pretty much in that same category. So I think it would take a weird situation. Like right now, you can't tell me the Big East is this good. Like I'm at bracket matrix right now. I know Villanova's very good. Butler's pretty good. But they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Big East teams projected in their tournament from out.
East Coast bias, my friend. It's East Coast bias. That's all it is.
There are 83 brackets on here. There's a few that are 60, but there are that many teams, what did I say, seven, that are in, considered in. And part of it, a little bit, I think, it's part of it that, because look at the Aztecs. They play 8 p.m. local time. If we do the Pac-12 real quick, I bet there's probably maybe four. Let me see how they put that in here.
But to me, it's also
Pac-12 has three teams. Pac-12, you tell me Pac-12 can't get more than three teams in?
I also think it's name recognition, though. Like, the Big East Conference, you're going to get recognition. Like, the Xaviers and the Georgetowns, those are classic
Villanova
programs. Villanova. And I think that Butler. Butler, I mean, yeah, kind of.
Well, people know Butler, but not the traditional.
Yeah. But I think that SDSU actually kind of benefits from name recognition nowadays just because of what Steve Fisher has built. I mean, I don't think SDSU, quite frankly, deserves an 8 or a 9 seed at this point. They've played themselves sort of out of that, but I still think they're going to get it just because when the committee, it comes time for the committee to talk, they're just going to say, oh, SDSU is one of the best programs in the West, Steve Fisher, yada, yada, put them in an 8 seed or something like that.
Well, they're at 18 wins now. They'll probably have 25 by the season's over, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, I'm assuming they beat Wyoming 19. They either split CSU, New Mexico 20, San Jose State 21, Nevada 22, and that's on the low end. They win a couple games. They're winning at least probably 23 games minimum, in my opinion, probably 24. Yeah. They could be sitting at 24-8, 25-8 or so. It's like, we know they're that's a good seed or good end, but it's like looking at how many teams you're in, threes for sure. And if you look at, who's the other, was it the A-10 that's usually right there? Let's see how they... This is exciting. Atlantic 10, you got VCU, but they lost their best player to the ACL. They have four teams in, basically five because George Washington's right there. Four, that's the Metro Atlantic. Tell me they're going to get four teams in, or three teams in, however many teams, more than Mountain West. They got one in the first four out, one in the next four out. I don't see that. I don't get why the A-10 is considered to be, they're going to be good.
Yeah.
And they're just, I see three. If there's a fourth team, who would you say? Because you mentioned you think a surprise team's going to win. So in my opinion, a surprise team, and you can always say I'm completely wrong by me putting words in your mouth, I think a surprise team is UNLV,
okay,
and Fresno State, and below. So Nevada and below. So I would say I wouldn't count New Mexico as a surprise, maybe borderline surprise team for New Mexico to win the conference tournament.
So let's do the four teams here. If it's San Diego State and Colorado State already in, and
I'm confident with Wyoming.
You're confident with Wyoming going in?
Yeah.
Okay. Then let's put them in, and then say, you know, UNLV is a surprise team. I think Boise has a good chance if they keep winning, because right now they're a hot team. They have nationally recognized probably the hottest player in January in Derek Marks. And you just can't underestimate what conversation and what talking about a team will do and what the impact will be come March. When those committee members are thinking of teams in the Mountain West and they see Boise State, and if Boise State still keeps up their hot streak for a while, they're going to think, oh, yeah, I remember Boise State. Man, they beat SDSU. They had a 7-game winning streak. Let's see what their stats are. Oh, they're pretty good. Let's put them in. So I think Boise State has a good chance as well.
I would think they're the only other team that probably get at large. Like, if we're going not winning the tournament,
right.
Wyoming, Aztecs, Boise, and CSU.
Exactly.
I don't think any other team can get at large. Because if you look at the win-loss, maybe if New Mexico somehow does something crazy, they're sitting at 14-9. Because Colorado State already has 20 wins. Rams, or gee, that's the same team. Boise State, brought the other type of animal, the Broncos, 17 wins. those are only, if there's at-large teams, those are it. And the way the tournament is, you got 11 teams because Spartans aren't in there. If you don't win your first game, you're pretty much done, in my opinion. Unless you're, I could give Colorado State the benefit of the doubt if they finish strong, like, because they're sitting with the best overall record. All their losses are in conference play, even though their non-conference play wasn't great. But if they're sitting at 27-5 or something, and they lose that one game, they're probably getting in.
Right.
I think that's the only team, as of right now, obviously everything could change, win, loss, and all that stuff. But I think they're the only team, if they finish strong, they're probably the only one who can get in without winning that first game. But then again, you're looking at them losing to, like, Nevada or something, or Utah State in that first game.
Right. It's crazy, man. I mean,
I got three. Three's my.
You got three? Yeah, I'd put it at 3-2 as well.
Four, yeah. Fresno does something crazy. I don't know, got anything else to add for basketball? We talked about a couple games. Check out the schedule check out your team because we only talked about three upcoming games because that's what we talk about. That's what we have.
for the Aztecs, it's a big week this week, and then let's see.
And the Rams, New Mexico and Aztecs.
Yeah, big week.
I guess interesting to see about how far Larry Nance is out, if he's going to be missing the whole week or something.
Yeah, I think that's the next pressing story for people to pay attention to. Just look at Wyoming, Laramie news outlets and see if there's any updates as to his health. Because if he's out this week, yes, they're going to be San Jose State. But if he's out, they're definitely not going to be at SDSU. And if he's out even for after San Jose State against Nevada and Fresno State, I mean, you never know.
Well, Fresno's on the road, I believe. So that's they beat San Diego State at home. Fresno State did so.
Right, right.
So they are pretty good at home, and yeah.
So we shall see.
We'll see. That's all we got tonight. That's good stuff. We got plenty of basketball. We're back. We actually prepared a bit, so hopefully it sounded like we did a little bit until we kind of go left and go right. But check us out. You got a, like I said, Blog Talk, iTunes, Stitcher. Where else we got? SoundCloud. Again, I always say, rate us 5 stars, but tell us how you really feel about the show. That's the best way to help us out. Be honest, you can crap on us, but give us a good rating. That's a two-way street, right? Is that helpful?
Yeah, that works.
So check us out. Like I said, mwcconnection.com. We're going to do this probably every week. Check out probably UNLV every week with Tyler, so check out for that as well. Again, find your podcast feed. We're probably on some random feed. I don't know. But, yeah, check us out next week and keep tuning the basketball, and we'll be back with some more hoops next week.